Amen. Thank you so much for that. Obviously, right along with our theme this year, of learning God's love, knowing it, living it out. What a blessing. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Timothy this morning, chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I have begun doing a personal study in 1 Timothy, going slowly through it as it is a passage for those in the ministry. And so, actually for those young in the ministry, and I consider myself very young, so I am young in the ministry, just kidding. I'm getting older, but thankful that I have still much to learn and excited to learn. And so Paul is writing to Timothy here and giving him so many things. You know, there was a lot of lies of the day that were going on that Paul is addressing with Timothy. You think that we're the first generation to have to go through the lies of society. Question, are there a lot of lies out there in our society today? It is hard to discern what is not a lie, right? Very difficult to know what is truth today, what is not truth that is out there, of course, aside from what God's Word says. But a lot of lies during the day, not just for today, but back in Paul and Timothy's day, there were a lot of lies. And Paul is addressing Timothy to be able to understand and discern the truth and to be very careful to stay away from those lies. And some would say that things are impossible to get to the point of believing today. And we say, how could anyone believe some of the things? You think about what the lies are out there today, and doesn't it kind of blow your mind how some of the people are believing some of these lies? The things that people are believing today, that they're actually coming out and saying certain things, and you, a discerner of truth, you look at that and say, no one would ever believe that. The things that you would have said 20 years ago that no one are believing, people are absolutely believing and selling themselves out to those things. And how does a person get there? How does the society get to the point of believing the lies of the day? That is a good question, Pastor, isn't it? Good question. How are people believing the lies? And how can we get to that point? And you say, Pastor, I could never get there. There's no way I would ever believe lies like that. And Paul addresses that very thing with Timothy here. He doesn't say, beware of thinking that, but he addresses to Timothy, who probably would have said, I would never believe the lies that are out there. And there were a lot of lies out there that Timothy is going to have to deal with, and he's going to have to be a discerner of all the things that were given so that the people would know the truth. And so Paul writes to Timothy here. Let's look at verses 18 to 20. And I'm going to read these, and then we're going to get a little background and then move forward with some very simple things this morning concerning shipwrecked faith. Paul is writing in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. The fact of the matter is we are in a long life, or I could say a lifelong spiritual battle or spiritual campaign. If you look at the words that are using here, this is not referring to a small battle. This is not referring to a short battle. This is not referring to a battle that is not very serious. This is not really referring to a battle that is won and won forever. This is a battle that continues to rage every day. It's an onslaught of the evil one. It's a campaign to overthrow. Now, this battle that is written of here by Paul is not necessarily a physical battle. Although, let me ask you a question. Can physical things be spiritual battles in our lives? Absolutely. You go through a physical thing, and we have to trust God in the physical things. But it's not just a physical thing. And we go through physical battles. Many of you are going through physical battles, and they're very physical in nature. But they can become or turn into spiritual battles. But the battle that is spoken here of is not necessarily a physical battle. The battle that is spoken here that Paul is warning Timothy about is not a battle necessarily with other people, although can we have spiritual battles that include other people? Absolutely we can, but it does not necessarily mean it's just people out there that we're battling with. This is a spiritual battle. This battle that Paul is speaking of is a battle between truth and lie. Truth and lie, that's what the battle is. This battle is a battle that began a long time ago, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. You remember the lies that were given there? In fact, it could go on even earlier than that. In fact, if you recall from the book of Isaiah, the story that went on with, of course, Lucifer and how he chose to go against Almighty God and to say, I will in the face of God Almighty, and chose to go his own way. You see, the battle that is warring and waging today is a battle between Satan and God. Honestly, we as people, with all the circumstances that we go through, we are just byproducts. We are just people that are almost in the way. This battle that we go that is going on in our world is a battle between the devil and God. Interesting thought. We are fighting God's battle with the evil one. All the things that you go through in life that are very difficult, that you wage war against, that battle and you struggle with, we've got to understand something, that this is a battle with the evil one, but it's God's battle. It's not us against the devil. Honestly, we're just a side note of this. It has to do, you know, the devil doesn't really care about you. But he is living his life to go against God Almighty. And Satan's attempts are at God. He's trying to get at God. Of course, we know that God is going to win. He has already won. But we're fighting God's battle with the evil one. This battle is going to have its ebbs and flows with our warring. But the Holy One is always going to win. But it's a battle with truth. It's a battle of truth. It's always been a battle with what is right, with what is true, with what God's Word has said. It's a battle with the rule book of truth. It's a battle of what is truth. And of course, it's a raging battle out there today of what is truth. But it's not only a battle with a rule book of truth and what is truth, but it's a battle of living the truth. What am I doing with the truth? And so herein lies the battle today. And this battle is fought in such a way, as mentioned here, this good battle. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before in thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. A good warfare. So it's supposed to be a good, a noble, admirable, worthy fighting for the cause of God. Well, let's take a break here from this passage and remember the devastation of the Titanic so many years ago. The ship was labeled as an unsinkable ship. 2,200 or more passengers that were on, only 700 plus, a few more than that, survived. And the big question is what happened? This week, just in studying for this, I'm not an expert at all with the Titanic. In fact, I had to really read a lot just to familiarize myself with the story and what was happening. And what was it that they said caused the sinking of the ship? And there's a lot of answers with that. A lot of answers. And I read a number of answers. Well, it was quality of steel that was used. It was the poor cheapening of the rivets that were used there that had things in there that caused it to bust. Well, and some would say, no, that it was not that. It was the warnings that were given out that were ignored and weren't followed. It was the time of year and what was going on and the overcast, lack of view that they had. And on, you could read about all kinds of things that were, and reasons that were given, and honestly, I don't know exactly. You might have more of an idea for sure in your mind, but we don't necessarily know. But I can say this, when certain things are ignored, because whether it was the type of material that were used, or whether it was warnings that were not heeded, whatever it was, when certain things are ignored, there's going to be a wreck for sure. Whatever it was, there's going to be a problem. And wrong choices, I believe, with everything that I read, somewhere along the lines, there were some wrong choices that were made, and the wrong choices were a cause or a possible cause to the sinking of the ship. Now, there certainly were a lot of struggles that were going on in the church in Ephesus that Timothy is taking care of. There were people, there were groups of church leaders, if I could say, not Timothy himself, but there were people that were leading in the church who were sowing false doctrine there. And the people were having a difficult time understanding what that false doctrine was. There were people with wrong thoughts on what the truth was. There were people with wrong thoughts on how they should live that out. And then, of course, wrong thoughts on who the master was in the person of Jesus Christ, even as their master. Now, as we look at this, I want you to see some things in this passage that you need to, just some words so you understand what it means. Look back at 1 Timothy 1:18. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee." A charge was something that he was mentioning. He said, I want you to be warned about something, and it was concerning the false teachers. And it would be Timothy's responsibility that he, as he was charged with this warning, to take heed to, understand it, so that he could help his people out with knowing what the truth was. And so he charged, and I would suggest to you that this is a charge to us. Friend, it's time for us to understand what the truth is so that we can recognize between falsehood and what is truth. Even Christians today are having a difficult time understanding what the truth is. What's the potential outcome of not knowing the truth? I would suggest to you it's going to be shipwreck, a shipwrecking of our faith. We need to understand. And Paul is charging Timothy here to commit him to something that he understands, all that he had been given, so that he could wage a good war against the evil one that is trying to wreck the ship of our faith concerning our lives. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." And then he says, "According to the prophecies which went before on thee." This would be in accordance with all that Timothy had learned from the Word through other people. We praise the Lord that there are people in our lives that have given to us God's Word. I want you to think in your life, who has been responsible in your life for handing the truth of God's Word to you? For some of you, go way back early on, and you're thankful for a good upbringing of parents that gave you the truth. Praise the Lord for parents. You know, my parents were saved, you know, and they were just got married somewhere right around 19 years old and getting married at that time. And it was just right around that time my mother had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, her personal Lord and Savior. And then after that, her family got saved. My dad got saved. And you know, they didn't know a whole lot. But I look back and I'm thankful that although they didn't know a whole lot, they committed God's truth to me. They gave me the Word of God. They were concerned about it. They had me in church when the doors were open. My friend, I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for that commitment that they had given so that I would know the truth, so that I could hear it Sunday morning in Sunday school, so that I could hear it Sunday morning in the morning message. I could hear it Sunday night. I could hear it Wednesday night. I could hear it at that activity. I could hear it, and there were no exceptions for us of hearing the truth. There were no exceptions in the family devotion time at night. There were no exceptions in the morning time with our devotions. I can't honestly say that I always had the greatest devotions, but it was our responsibility, and there was a charge to us that you need to understand these things. And my parents gave me that truth, and which I'm so thankful for. Oh, it bothered me in those days when they pulled me out of football practice on a Wednesday night to go into the church bathroom and change out of my football pads and to put on my clothes and go out there. But my parents knew that it was important that I knew the truth. And I'm so grateful for that. Something that I could never, ever, ever repay except to train my own children in the same way. My friend, Paul had given, other people had given Timothy certain things, and he says, in accordance to all that you have been given. My friends, it's going to be important one day to understand what the truth is with all the things that we can get now. It's not a light matter to overlook the opportunities of receiving truth. In fact, you can spend a lifetime trying to get the truth, and we need every bit of it to get all the truth that we can have to actually survive the sailing of life. And we better not take it for granted that we're going to make it. You see, there was a proud people that had built a ship that thought that it was indestructible. My friends, they were wrong. And I want to encourage you to listen today, to listen every time the Word of God is given, because so many of us think that our ship is indestructible. Oh, I could never do that. I would never go that way. That's what they said. Take heed, lest ye fall. So Paul charges Timothy in accordance with all that he had learned. He said, with everything that you have, which was so important. My friend, with everything that you have, we need to be getting everything that we can get. And I, as your pastor, charge you, get everything you can, personally, with your family. You know what, parents? You need to teach your children in the morning when they wake up. You need to teach your children in the night before they go to bed. You need to teach your children in the way when you're going out of your home, when they're getting dressed, when you're at the store, at the grocery store. You need to teach your children when you get down and you're sitting down on the couch to relax. You need to teach them on their school days. You need to teach them on the days that they have off. There's no exception. We need to be training our families and our children. We need to be training the people in our church, all of the counsel of God, so that we are ready when the devil shows up, so that we don't end up shipwrecked. He says here in this passage, he says that thou mightest war a good warfare. The battles are against the errors in life, the lies of life. The battles of everyday life concerning truth and error. Now, how would young Timothy be able to face and train his congregation concerning truth? And we get to verse 19, and Paul tells him how he's going to do that. And it's kind of interesting. He gives them some very simple things to understand. He says, holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith and a good conscience. The word holding there is sticking to all that had been taught. So Paul and others had taught Timothy throughout, that we've already talked about, all these times. Again, I don't know what they had back in those days. I don't think that they had an organized Sunday school that, like we call it. But they had times where they were in God's Word. And for those of you who think, ah, see, they didn't have a Sunday school, I don't think that we even compare to what they had. I think they met more and they were in God's Word so much more than what we do today. But yet, the fact of the matter is, whatever they had, Timothy had been taught the Scriptures day in and day out, all these things. And he's telling Timothy, not only were you taught that, but you need to hold on to it. Hold on to the faith. And when we look at the word faith here, we can define it in a number of ways. Is this the belief system in the Word of God? Is this the ability to step out and do something that I don't understand? In this context, in this case, the word faith is used here is talking about the truth that he had been given. The faith, the Word of God, the Scriptures, all the teaching and preaching and the principles and truths of God's Word. That's what we're talking about here with faith. He says holding faith. Sticking to all of it that he had been taught and all that he had learned that is now put together in Timothy's belief system. It was a trust in God. Put it all together and hold fast to it. How is a person going to survive the storms of life that are out there today with truth and error? And Paul tells Timothy, hold on to what you've learned. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. How practically can a person hold on to the truth that God has given? I'll tell you, if we're not in it on a daily basis, we cannot hold on to it. If we are not memorizing the Word of God on a normal basis, we cannot hold on to it. And I need that one. I need to be learning God's more. I know that that's a fault in my life. I've got to be memorizing God's Word more. But we've got to hold on to that Word. We've got to memorize that Word. We've got to meditate on that Word. Isn't it amazing how we learn things on a Sunday morning and somebody asks us Sunday night, we do this for family devotions on the way home many times on the way home on a Sunday night, and I talk to the kids and I say, what did you learn today? But honestly, it's not super faulty of the kids. You know, they have to stop and think, isn't it so easy to not remember what we heard that morning? I mean, I could ask you right now, what was preached last Sunday morning? And you would have to stop and be like, and like some of us used to say, I know I listened. I know I did. Well, what was it? Well, it was good. and this is what I used. I still remember. You know, I grew up on the ranch, and we had about 15 to 20 minutes from church to home to be quizzed after every single Sunday night. I don't know that they hardly ever missed. I know sometimes me and my brother were probably in the back seat thinking, Dad, please forget, because I was not listening tonight. You know, but when I was asked, okay, Sean, what did you learn? I guarantee there were times I said something to the matter of fact, you know, matter of like, it was about God. I sure hope so. I sure hope it was about God. And I probably got good of masking, you know, something, you know, to make it sound like, you know, I have no clue what it was. But you know what? God wants us to meditate and think. It's so easy, even for the person that listens. You know, our memories are so feeble and frail. We have to listen and write it down. We've got to rehearse it, or what happens? We forget it. We lose it. I mean, how many excellent times in the Word of God have you had in your life? Hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands. And yet, what were they? And you say, I don't know. And I'm not suggesting that you have to sit in a, you know, in a congregation like this and tell us, you know, 10,000 things that you've learned. But the fact of the matter is we better learn to hold on to the things that we're learning, so that we don't end up shipwrecking our faith one day. Paul says, holding faith. So holding on to what God has given, you better be there to hear. You better be there to study. You better be there to meditate and memorize. You better be there holding your faith, the hearing and the learning, the training, the studying. So faith then cometh by, what does Paul tell us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to be hearing God's Word so that we have the faith. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance, speaking of Timothy, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Did Timothy get this just out of osmosis? No, he had been taught the Word with his family. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we're passing down the faith, the written Word of God that ought to make a difference in our lives, that is going to be the element to keep us floating straight. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Holding fast, Titus writes, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So holding fast to the Word of God. Next, we see holding faith, and a good conscience. Now, holding the faith, but also holding a good conscience. What is he referring to with his good conscience? That is very simple. That's taking the Word of God that was given to it, and we've got to hold on to what was given, but it's more than just what was given. It's how to live that truth. So we're given things and we get a head and we get a heart, but then it's got to be put to action with our feet and our hands. We've got to do those things. And he says, and a good conscience, that is actually doing right, not ignoring the Holy Spirit and the Word of God as it's put to us. Now last week in Discovery Bible Studies, we learned about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Very practically, that is taking the written Word of God, putting it in our hearts, and then an opportune times, which we find ourselves in all the time, as you learned today, we're praying and asking God to help us, then we pull out that sword and we utilize the Word of God on an everyday basis. And we are using that word, where it's the rhema, the spoken word, and get thee behind me, Satan, like Jesus said. And for you, men in the grocery store, you say, get thee behind me, Satan. God, would you help me not to look over there? That's the written word of God being used as a spoken word that's wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? And he tells us to do that. A good conscience is not ignoring what we know. Taking what we know, God says there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But in the right conscience, we can put that away. Have you ever done that before? The Word of God speaks to you, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, don't look over there, don't do this, don't speak that, don't say that. And we decide to ignore it anyway and go through with it. Because we had better thoughts, we had better ideas, we thought that it could please us in a better way. Well, this idea of a good conscience is saying, you know what, I'm going to not only know the truth, but I'm going to do the truth. All that I've learned in life, I'm going to stick with it and do it. It's a conscience holding us to what we have learned in the faith. And that conscience we could call the Holy Spirit. We have inside of us the Holy Spirit that does such an excellent job of reminding us like this. Don't do that. You ever heard the Holy Spirit's knock? If you're a Christian here today, you have. If you've never heard it today, then either you're so much in sin that you're ignoring it, or maybe you've never trusted in Christ. Now, that's not a rule of if I'm saved or not, but I'll tell you, a person that's saved is going to have the knocking of the Holy Spirit in their lives. There's going to be that time that says, don't say that. Don't look over there. Don't do that. Don't respond that way. Or while you're responding, he's going like this, you're responding in a wrong way. I praise the Lord. We had an excellent couples retreat this last Friday and Saturday. God was so good to us. He gave us His truth. He gave us His Word in three or four different opportunities. We had a wonderful time. And those that were there, couples, we learned, didn't we? We learned some truth that were there that we need to take heed. But you know what's going to happen today when we're there? And I'm kind of speaking to the couples that were there. You know, we're going to get into something. We're going to, us husbands, the wives never do anything wrong. But the husbands, you know what? We're always the ones that do it. And I know I'm going to be responding to my wife. And you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? John, don't do that. Don't do what you taught those people that weekend. And you know what? He's going to do that. And I'm going to have a choice. Isn't it amazing how we have choices? And we can choose to listen to it, or we can choose to ignore it. That's what we're talking about here. He says, hold the faith and hold a good conscience. You know what's right. You know, for you couples that went to that thing, we were given a lot of truth, weren't we? We were going to give a lot of truth. The question is, are we going to hold it? Now that's big. It was easy to, you know, I say it wasn't easy. Actually, there were some really pointed things that we learned. Wasn't easy, but we could sit there and soak it in, but actually doing it and fulfilling it is another story. It's so easy there, you know, sitting under that message with your arm around your wife saying, you know what, and you're looking at each other with those twinkly eyes and say, I'm going to love you for the rest of my life. But then when reality hits, it's like, there's the Holy Spirit. So it's holding the faith, but it's also, so all the knowledge that we have, but it's holding the conscience to actually do it and not ignore it and say, you know what, but not this time. You really went above and beyond here, and I can't ignore that. You see, and back to those couples that were there with us, when we do that, we're putting ourselves at risk for shipwreck. And that's what we're getting to. So, two things that we need to understand. Number one, we need to hold to the faith. Everything that we have been given up to this point, And whether that's a 5 or a 6 year old here this morning, or whether you're 86 here this morning, what no matter what age you are, all the things that God has given to us up to this point, we're responsible for those things. Again, in review, that means we've got to get everything we can get our hands on. God has given to us His Word, and we're kind of on a time clock to get all this in. But it's a knowledge of that, and so we do everything we can to get that knowledge, but then it's a holding on to what we have, but then holding on to the responsibility to live it out. Does that make sense? Holding on to what we've been given so that we don't ignore it and push it aside, because when we push it aside and we say, you know what, I know that, I've been taught not to do that, but I don't feel like it, I don't want it, He comes up and He says something that is going to happen. What's going to happen with this person that has heard? Remember James 1:22, He tells us what? But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What happens to a person that is just a hearer only? It says, He goes on to say, deceiving your own selves. You know what happens to a lot of Christians these days is we hear a lot of truth, we get our heads puffed up, and we don't obey it, and we end up shipwrecked. Because we deceived ourselves into thinking that we were somebody that we were not. You know, I want to tell you, those people that were that had built the Titanic, they thought it was unsinkable, they had tricked themselves into thinking that things were much better than what they were. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the application here of holding fast to the faith, holding fast to doing what is right, versus, if you notice, putting away, which some having put away concerning faith. The idea of putting away is putting that stiff arm up and say, listen, I know that it's there. I know that it's sounding out to me, but I'm going to choose to ignore it. Let's stop right here and let's ask the question, what in your life has God sounded out to you? Sean, I want you to stay away from that. I want you to do this, and you can put your own name in here. What has God sounded out? He's given the faith, if I could say. He's given the teaching. He's given the instruction. He's given the preaching. You know it. And you have found a way to reason it away. You have found a way to ignore it. You found a way to shut it out and lock it up and throw it in the back seat and ignore it. That's what he's talking about here. Holding fast versus putting away of faith, if I could say, faith opportunities of all the things that we have learned in the past. The word putting is to thrust aside. Get it out of here. Concerning our good conscience. No, get away. I don't want to hear that. I'm going to get busy. I'm going to go do something else because I don't want to hear it. You know what I'm talking about. Things that God's saying, you know, and the longer it goes, and the more times we put it away, it seems to get quieter and quieter. But I'll tell you, it's not because it's quieter and quieter; it's because we're calloused more and more. We choose not to hear it. I will not hear it. What does he say of this individual holding faith? Remember, he's charging him. What? Let's go back to the beginning. What is Paul doing with Timothy? He's warning him because he's saying, you are in a battle against the evil one. This is a battle of God and the evil one. And he wants to bring in lies instead of truth. And he's going to do everything he can to bring in those lies. And he's warning here. He says, listen, you've been given truth. And I want you to hold fast to that truth. I want you to practice truth. But he says some very alarming news concerning this given truth and this supposed to be practiced truth. He says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away, going back to that truth that had been given, and then moreover, that truth that had been given that was being put away, he says, having some which some having put away concerning faith. So do you get what he's saying here? So you've been given this, you've received it, but you are thrusting it aside. No, I don't want to do that. And he says, concerning faith, so all that I've heard and I've taken in, all that has been preached to me, taught me, read in the Word of God, he said, concerning faith, have made, what's the word? Shipwreck. We've destroyed our faith. We've destroyed, and this faith now is not just destroyed all that we've been given, but it destroys the very thing that we're living for. We step back and ask the question, how could anybody ever believe such a lie? Now, it's one thing to look at the world that believes lies because they don't have a leader and a guide in their lives to help them discern truth. By the way, when we look at our world and you shake your head like this, honestly, yeah, I shake my head as well, but it's understandable. They don't have somebody that helps them to discern. That's why the world has such a horrible time understanding what truth is. But my friends, the devastating thing are the Christians. They've been given the truth. And when you see a Christian walk away from the faith, we say, how did that happen? How did it happen that solid couple that was right there, that was going to church, that followed the Lord, that had the standards, that did what was right, how did they get to the point to where they left and they're acting that way? Have you ever had people like that you have looked at and say, what happened? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. No matter how you rack your brain, you think through it and what happened, it doesn't make sense. But this passage tells us how it makes sense, because there were things that they had been given. They had been given God's Word, and they knew them. They quizzed on them, young people. They knew those things, but yet at a certain point in time, they said no to those things. They decided to drown it out and to turn up the music over here and say, I'm going to pretend like it's not there. And what happened through the years of listening to that and saying no to that, what happened is they end up shipwrecked. Devastated. Maybe saved for eternity if they had trusted in Jesus Christ, but their lives were shipwrecked. And friend, I want to tell you, that's what happens. Is it a dangerous thing to not listen to the one giving the warning signs? My friend, I want to tell you, and it has nothing to do with the one. You go to Ezekiel chapter 33, and he's talking about the one that was doing the warning. And honestly, well, practically, with the nation of Israel, the prophets. The prophets that were out there and saying, you know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get right. Put away your idols. Put away that spiritual adultery. Go back to Jehovah. Worship Him. He loves you. He gave Himself for you. And they would not. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 33, he said, if the watchman does not put out the watch, then he's to blame. But if the watchman puts out the watch, and the people will not hiss and listen, they will not take it, they will not obey it, then they're the ones to blame, and the blood will be on their hands. My friend, I want to ask you the question, what has God given to you through, whether it was a watchman verbally or whether it was just a watchman through the Word of God, that God has put to you, that you know you ought to do, that you have put aside, you have cast it away? My friend, I want to tell you, to do that is going to bring shipwreck. A shipwrecking of our faith. Not just this kind of faith, but then denial of even God Himself. People that abandon this faith are people that probably previously abandoned their moral faith by saying no to the things that God was telling them. We need to be very careful on what God has given to us, to hold fast to it, take it in, practice it, do it. He finishes up with an example of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That word blasphemous is to speak against. It's to go against the truth. We see that example in the book of Acts, chapter 5, with Ananias and Sapphira. They pretended the right, but they took the wrong. They rejected. What do you think? Did their lives, Ananias and Sapphira, end in shipwreck? Yeah, it did. You know, the Titanic likely sank because somebody along the line, again, whether it was a communicator, whether it was a builder, I don't know, whether it was maybe a planner of the thing, but they rejected some sort of truth. And we will also likely sink because somewhere along the line we rejected some sort of truth. The question is, what is it that you have rejected in your conscience? Shipwrecked faith is at stake. Lord, would you help us? Lord, would you help us? We're all responsible for what we've been given. If we don't read the rule book, we're still responsible. If we don't believe it, we're still responsible. If we will not obey it, we are still responsible. God, would you help us? Lord, help us to have discernment from you. Areas in our lives that we're not trusting. We're not trusting and we're not obeying. God, help us. Lord, help us. I wonder if you're here this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Please, no looking around.